Some secrets don't stay buried, no matter how much you want them to. For years, Alex and Jordan lived a lie that began with a single night of blurred lines and desperate comfort. They agreed to co-parent, to raise a child together, not because they were in love, but because they were best friends, and because it felt like the right thing to do. For a while, it almost worked. Their lives tangled together, built on midnight feedings, inside jokes, and unspoken sacrifices. But when Jordan finally admits the truth, that the little boy Alex called his son was never his to begin with, something inside him shatters. Rage takes root where trust once lived. Suddenly, every moment, every sacrifice, every piece of himself he gave to that child feels like a lie. Now Alex has a choice. Walk away quietly, or fight for justice, revenge, or something in between. Because sometimes the deepest betrayals don't come from enemies, but from the people you'd do anything for. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Best Friends, Bad Decisions. Alex Walker never meant for it to happen. Not the baby, not the lie. Certainly not the way it all unraveled in the end. But some nights change everything. The bar was crowded, full of that half-loud music and laughter that never seems to fade, not in a college town at the end of May. Jordan had called him that afternoon, voice trembling through the phone. She'd just broken up with her boyfriend, a detail Alex was both surprised and secretly relieved to hear. They'd been best friends since high school, partners in crime, each other's safe space through every crisis. So when she asked him to meet her for drinks, he didn't hesitate. They talked for hours, sharing old memories, regrets, and the wounds left behind by love gone wrong. At some point, tequila blurred the edges of the night. She leaned in close, her breath warm against his cheek, and suddenly, the world tilted. It wasn't love. It was need. It was comfort. It was just one night. The next morning, the silence was awkward, but not cold. Jordan laughed, shaking her head as she found her clothes in the dim.
Dry. They entered the courtroom. Jordan sat at the opposite table, eyes red but steady. Miss Harding whispered to her, then nodded to Alex. The judge entered, a woman with sharp eyes and a tired face. She called the case number, and everyone stood. Miss Temple spoke first. She described Alex's role in Ethan's life, his daily presence, his devotion, his history as Ethan's father. She presented photos, school records, birthday cards, and a stack of letters from teachers and friends vouching for Alex's commitment. Ms. Harding argued that while Alex had been present, the truth mattered. Ethan deserved to know his real parentage, she said. Jordan had only hidden the truth out of fear, not malice. The judge listened, face unreadable. At one point, she looked at Alex. Mr. Walker, why do you want to remain in Ethan's life? Alex's voice shook, but he answered honestly, because I love him. Because he's my son, even if we don't share blood. I promised him I'd never leave. I intend to keep that promise. The judge nodded. They didn't get a final answer that day. The judge ordered a temporary agreement. Alex could see Ethan 3 days a week, with shared holidays. The full custody decision would wait for more evidence, possibly even a child psychologist's evaluation. It wasn't a win, but it wasn't a loss. Alex left the courthouse exhausted, but grateful. He called Mark, and for the first time in weeks, let himself laugh. A small, uncertain laugh, but real. That night, as he tucked Ethan into bed, the boy wrapped his arms around Alex's neck. I love you, Daddy. Alex hugged him tight. I love you, too. Always. In the dark, Alex promised himself he would fight to the last breath. He was not giving up. Not for anything. But as the city lights flickered outside, he couldn't help but wonder, how much more could one heart take before it broke for good? Chapter 4. Lines in the Sand. The temporary court order brought structure, but not peace. Alex tried to settle into a new rhythm, splitting his time between work, Mark's spare room, and the few precious days he was allowed with Ethan. But beneath the surface, the stress grew heavier with every week. Simple things. Packing a school lunch, tying shoelaces, reading stories, suddenly carried more meaning, as if each act might be there, last. He cherished every minute, even when Ethan was cranky or tired or stubborn. Every goodbye at the end of their days together felt like it might be final. Jordan grew quieter. She seemed relieved when Alex played by the rules, but she was also guarded, her face tight with anxiety whenever they exchanged Ethan at the door. Alex wondered if she regretted telling the truth, or if she was simply afraid of losing control. Sometimes, after Ethan went to sleep, Alex found himself pacing the living room, his mind swirling with doubt and anger. Why had she chosen him to share this burden? Had she ever thought about what it might do to him? Had she ever really cared about him at all, or just what he could provide? One night, Alex tried to confront her, calmly, with no yelling or accusations. He needed answers. "Jordan, do you ever think about what this has done to me, to Ethan?" She looked tired. "I think about it every day, Alex. I never wanted to hurt you. I was scared. I needed someone, and you were always there. That's not good enough. You lied for 6 years." She flinched, but said nothing. "Is his real father still around? Will he come back?" She shook her head. "No. He left town before I even knew. I haven't seen him since. I don't even know where he is. He doesn't know about Ethan. He never will." The conversation ended there, raw and unfinished. Alex went back to Mark's, more unsettled than before. The legal fight took on a life of its own. Miss Temple warned Alex that it might get uglier. "You need to be prepared for anything," she said. "Sometimes people get desperate. The court wants to see stability. Don't let anger get the better of you." Jordan's lawyer, Ms. Harding, began to push. She requested background checks, dug into Alex's work history, even questioned his finances. Alex, who had never had anything to hide, found himself second-guessing every decision. Was the apartment clean enough? Did he look responsible enough? Was he earning enough money to support a child on his own? The first in-home visit from the court-appointed child advocate left Alex sweating. He gave a tour of Mark's apartment, showed off Ethan's corner with its stack of toys and books. He smiled and answered questions, all the while terrified he would say the wrong
thing. Afterwards, he collapsed on the couch, exhausted. Mark handed him a beer and raised an eyebrow. "I don't get it," Alex said quietly. "I did everything right. I never walked away. How is this even a question?" Mark shrugged. "You can't control the outcome. Just show them who you are. That's all you can do." The weeks crawled by. The next court date came and went, with no final ruling. Instead, the judge requested a psychological evaluation for Ethan and both parents, a standard process. But it made everything feel colder, more clinical. Ethan, sensing the tension, began to act out. He threw tantrums at pickup, clung to Alex's legs, sobbed at bedtime. Alex tried to comfort him, but sometimes the pain was too much for either of them to hide. One night, Ethan asked the question Alex dreaded most. "Daddy, am I in trouble? Is it my fault?" Alex gathered him close. "Never. None of this is your fault, Ethan. Grown-ups mess up. But you're perfect, just the way you are." Ethan nodded, but Alex could see the confusion in his eyes. In quiet moments, Alex questioned what kind of man he had become. The old Alex was easygoing, quick to laugh, always ready to help. Now he felt raw, brittle, like glass stretched too thin. He started having dreams, nightmares where Ethan called for him, but Alex couldn't reach him. Dreams where Jordan turned Ethan against him, dreams where he was invisible in his own life. He'd wake up sweating, gasping, reaching for a child who wasn't there. He kept going, driven by stubborn love and a growing sense of injustice. This wasn't just about him anymore. It was about Ethan, about not letting a little boy lose his father to a web of lies. Some days, Alex fantasized about revenge, legal or otherwise. What if he went to the press? What if he found the real father and made him take responsibility? What if he cut Jordan out of their lives completely? But those thoughts faded with the dawn. He knew the only way forward was through the courts, no matter how slow or painful. Then one day, everything changed. Miss Temple called, her voice urgent. "Alex, I just got an email from Miss Harding. Jordan wants to settle. Alex sat down hard, pulse racing. Settle. How? She's proposing joint custody. You'd get Ethan half the time. No more court dates. No more fighting. But, Miss Temple's voice softened, you'd have to sign an agreement not to pursue child support and not to ever seek out Ethan's biological father. Alex sat with the offer, heart pounding. Relief warred with suspicion. Was this mercy, or just another way for Jordan to keep control? He called Mark that night, running through the pros and cons. Mark was blunt as always. What do you want, Alex? Do you want revenge, or do you want your son? Alex thought about it long and hard. He thought about revenge, about seeing Jordan pay for the pain she'd caused. But mostly, he thought about Ethan, the little boy who needed him, no matter what the law said. The next morning, Alex called Miss Temple. Tell them I'll sign. I want my son. They met in a conference room. Just Alex, Jordan, their lawyers, and a mountain of paperwork. The room was quiet, heavy with relief and regret. Jordan slid the agreement across the table. Her hand shook as she handed him the pen. I'm sorry, Alex. For everything. He nodded, his voice steady but gentle. Me too. Let's just do right by him now. They signed, and just like that, the battle was over. Or so it seemed, because some wounds don't heal with signatures. Some scars last a lifetime. But for now, Alex had what mattered most, time with his son, and a shot at building something true from the ruins of a lie. He walked out of the office, into the sunlight, feeling both lighter and older than he had in years. The next chapter was his to write. Chapter 5. Picking up the pieces. Joint custody did not bring the peace Alex had imagined. If anything, it created a new kind of tension, one that hid in the silence, in the glances exchanged during pickups, in the way Ethan's bag always seemed a little too heavy with the weight of everything unsaid. But Alex kept moving forward, determined to make the most of the time he had with his son. Every other week, Ethan's world was his. They played board games on the floor, cooked pancakes in messy kitchens, and went on Saturday morning adventures, just the two of them, trying to pretend nothing had changed. Sometimes, for a few precious hours, Alex could almost believe it. He and Jordan did their best to be civil. There were awkward handoffs in the apartment foyer, forced smiles in front of Ethan, and brief texts about school projects or dentist appointments. Alex tried not to think about all the things they weren't saying, how the cracks in their friendship had become chasms, how forgiveness felt like a word from another language. Every so often, late at night, Alex found himself replaying the past. He wondered if he had missed signs, if he had wanted to believe the lie so badly that he'd blinded himself to the truth. But the answer never came, and the guilt faded in and out like headlights in the rain. He focused on Ethan. That was the only thing that made sense anymore. Ethan, for his part, adjusted with the resilience only children seem to have. He moved between homes with his favorite backpack, growing quieter during transitions, but always lighting up once the routine settled. Sometimes he asked questions Alex couldn't answer. Why can't we all live together again? Do you still love Mommy? Alex would answer gently, carefully, always honest, but never cruel. Sometimes grown-ups have to make hard choices. But I'll always love you, Ethan. That will never change. Ethan nodded, his trust unshaken. But the scars were there. Alex saw them in the drawings Ethan brought home from school. Stick figures holding hands with sad, uncertain faces. He saw them in the way Ethan sometimes clung to his leg at drop-off, in the way he asked if Alex would always come back. Every time, Alex made the same promise. I'm not going anywhere, buddy. I'm always here. The seasons changed. Spring brought new leaves and gentle rain. Alex and Ethan planted a small garden on the balcony. Tomatoes, herbs, a few flowers Ethan picked out at the nursery. It became their project, something alive and growing that belonged only to them. Neighbors noticed too. Mrs. Ramirez from across the hall offered extra pots and seeds. Other parents at Ethan's school invited Alex to birthday parties and weekend picnics. Bit by bit, Alex began to feel less alone. Work improved too. He landed a big freelance project that kept him busy and paid the bills. Mark was always there, ready with a beer or a bad joke when Alex needed to vent, Sometimes the three of them, Alex, Mark, and Ethan, would spend Saturdays at the park, kicking a ball or just lying in the grass, watching clouds drift.
By. Slowly, Alex's world started to feel solid again. But peace was never the whole story. One rainy Tuesday, Alex received a call from Jordan that shook him to the core. "I need your help," she said, her voice trembling. "I think Ethan's real father is back in town." Alex felt the world tilt beneath him. "How do you know?" "He called me," Jordan whispered. "He said he wants to meet Ethan. He wants to be in his life." Alex gripped the phone, heart racing. After all the years, after everything they'd been through, was it really possible? He remembered the court agreement, how he'd promised not to seek out the biological father, but this was different. The man had found them, and now, the one thing Alex had feared most was suddenly a real threat. He met with Jordan at a coffee shop, neutral ground. She was pale, hands shaking as she held her cup. "I don't know what to do, Alex. He says he's changed. He wants to be a father." Alex stared at her, his anger and fear mixing in his chest. "You lied to me for years, and now you're asking me what to do? This was always going to happen, Jordan. He deserves the truth, but Ethan deserves stability. We can't let this blow up his life." Jordan nodded, tears brimming in her eyes. "I know. I'm sorry." They sat in silence, the weight of old wounds pressing in on both sides. Alex took a deep breath. "We need to talk to a lawyer. Together. We do this right for Ethan's sake. No secrets, no fights. He's been through enough." Jordan agreed. That night, Alex watched Ethan sleep and wondered what the future would hold. Would Ethan hate him for keeping secrets? Would he choose a man he barely knew over the father who'd raised him? Would the courts rip everything apart again? He didn't have answers. All he could do was keep showing up, keep loving his son, keep fighting for a family, no matter what shape it took. As the rain tapped against the window, Alex made another promise. No matter what happened next, he wouldn't run from the truth. He wouldn't let fear make him small. And he wouldn't let anyone, not even the man with Ethan's blood, take away the years he'd fought so hard to protect. Because love, he realized, wasn't about biology or paperwork or even promises. It was about showing up, day after day, no matter how hard it got.
And for Ethan, Alex would show up. Always. Chapter 6. Blood and Bonds. Alex didn't sleep the night after Jordan's call. Every time he closed his eyes, his mind filled with worst-case scenarios. He imagined Ethan running into the arms of a stranger, forgetting the father who had been there every day. He pictured courtrooms, shouting, tears, everything falling apart again. By dawn, he knew two things for sure. He could not control what was coming, but he would not back down. Not now. The next morning, he called his lawyer. Ms. Temple listened quietly as Alex explained the new situation. She asked questions. When did the biological father call? What did he say? What did Jordan want? Alex gave her every detail, feeling the old panic return. Ms. Temple was clear. If the biological father wants to establish paternity, the courts will consider it. But you have years of history as Ethan's dad. Judges don't like to disrupt a child's stable life. Our goal is to protect Ethan from unnecessary upheaval. Alex's heart hammered. What if Ethan wants to know him? Miss Temple paused. That's possible, especially as he gets older. What matters most is how you handle it. Don't attack Jordan. Don't make Ethan choose. Show you are the steady parent. I'll reach out to Jordan's lawyer. We'll see what the other man wants. The waiting was the worst part. Jordan told Alex that the biological father's name was Paul. Paul had lived out west for years, but recently returned, changed by time, work, and regret. He'd found Jordan through a mutual friend, she said, and now wanted a chance to know his son. Alex met with Jordan and Ms. Temple in a quiet office. The conversation was tense, but no one raised their voice. Jordan was visibly afraid, unsure of her own feelings, while Alex did his best to stay calm. "We have to think about Ethan first," Alex said. "He needs stability. We need boundaries." Ms. Temple nodded. "We can propose supervised visits at first. We make it clear. Ethan's well-being comes before everything else." Jordan's eyes filled with tears. "I just want what's best for him." Alex believed her, even if it was hard to trust. The first meeting between Paul and Ethan happened on a Saturday afternoon at a community center, with Jordan and Alex present. Ethan was told that Paul was an old friend. Paul was nervous, tall, wiry, with tired blue eyes and an uncertain smile. He brought Ethan a small toy car, awkwardly handing it over. Alex watched every moment. He saw Ethan's confusion, then his curiosity. Ethan didn't warm up instantly, but he was polite, asking Paul about the car, then wandering off to play with blocks. Paul looked both relieved and heartbroken. Afterward, Paul approached Alex outside. "I know this is hard," he said quietly. "You've done everything for him. I'm not trying to take your place. I just want to know him, maybe be a part of his life." Alex's voice was even. "He's my son. I won't let anything hurt him." Paul nodded. "I understand. I'll respect whatever the court decides." It was the closest thing to peace Alex could imagine. Still, fear gnawed at him. The next weeks brought more supervised visits. Sometimes Alex stayed in the background, letting Ethan and Paul build a slow connection. Sometimes he and Paul talked, carefully, about what Ethan liked, his favorite games, foods, books. Alex guarded his role, but he saw Paul's genuine effort. Jordan was quiet, watching from the sidelines. Sometimes, after visits, she and Alex shared a few honest words. "I never wanted any of this," she said one evening as they packed Ethan's school bag. "You're a better father than I ever hoped for." Alex sighed. "We can't undo the past. We just have to get it right from here on." The next court hearing was set to formalize arrangements. Alex was a bundle of nerves as he walked into the courtroom, but Ms. Temple was steady beside him. Paul sat at the far end, respectful but firm about wanting a role. The judge listened to all sides. Ms. Temple argued for Alex's parental rights, emphasizing years of care, emotional bonding, and Ethan's stability. Paul's lawyer was measured, asking for limited visitation with a slow path to more involvement if it served Ethan's best interests. Jordan, for her part, wanted as little change as possible. The judge's ruling was careful. Alex retained legal custody, with Paul allowed supervised visits for 6 months, followed by a review. The court praised Alex's devotion and warned against using Ethan as a pawn in adult disputes. Alex felt relief, but also a quiet sadness. Nothing was simple anymore. He was no longer just Ethan's dad. He was one piece of a complicated truth. As spring warmed into summer, Alex tried to focus on what mattered. He spent time with Ethan, teaching him to ride a bike, going to the beach, helping him build a model rocket for the school science fair. One afternoon, as they sat on the grass, Ethan turned to him. "Dad, will I always have two dads now?" Alex smiled, heart aching. "You'll always have me, no matter what. And you'll get to know Paul if you want. Family can be more than one thing, buddy. What matters is that you're loved." Ethan nodded, thinking it over. Then he hugged Alex tight. That night, Alex felt a strange peace settle inside him. He could not erase the past, nor control the future, but he could be here now. Present, honest, loving. Whatever else came, that would always be enough. Chapter 7. Truth, Forgiveness, and a New Beginning. Summer brought a gentle peace to Alex's world. The legal battles had ended, but the work of building trust and family continued. Each day, he woke grateful for the simple things. Ethan's laughter, the smell of pancakes in the morning, the way sunlight spilled across the living room floor. Alex still felt the scars of betrayal, but they no longer ruled him. The anger that had once driven him had burned down to something quieter. A steady resolve to be present, to be better, to let love win over bitterness. Some days, it was harder than others, but he kept going, step by step. Ethan adjusted to his new reality with the openness only a child can have. He still called Alex Dad and Paul by his first name. Over time, Ethan grew more comfortable with Paul, sometimes asking to see him for short visits. Paul respected the boundaries, grateful for every moment he was given. Jordan, too, began to heal. She attended therapy, slowly worked to rebuild her friendship with Alex, and most importantly, focused on being the best mother she could. Sometimes she and Alex shared quiet conversations after Ethan fell asleep, talking honestly for the first time in years. I wish I could take it all back, Jordan said one night, her voice low and honest. Alex shook his head. We can't change the past. All we can do is make the future better, for Ethan. She nodded, tears shining in her eyes. Thank you for
not giving up on him, or on us. That summer, they planned a small trip to the lake. Alex, Ethan, Jordan, and for one afternoon, Paul. It was awkward at first, but the sunlight and laughter slowly loosened the knots between them. Ethan splashed in the water, teaching Paul how to skip stones, while Alex and Jordan watched from the shore. Later, as they roasted marshmallows by the fire, Ethan curled up between Alex and Jordan. For the first time, Alex saw not just the pain and mistakes, but the strength it took for all of them to come together, for Ethan's sake. Paul joined them, sitting on the edge of the firelight. Alex handed him a marshmallow on a stick, a quiet gesture of peace.
Thanks, Paul said, voice grateful.
Alex nodded. We're all here for him. That's what matters. For a moment, they sat in silence, the only sound the soft crackle of the fire and Ethan's sleepy breath. Time moved forward, as it always does. The years ahead would not be perfect. There would be more hard questions, more moments of doubt, more days when the past threatened to overshadow the present. But Alex knew now that he didn't have to be perfect. He only had to be honest, and to love Ethan with everything he had. Ethan thrived in his patchwork family. He grew taller, braver, more curious. He asked about his story sometimes, and Alex always told the truth. Gently, but honestly. He wanted his son to know that love wasn't about blood, but about showing up, again and again. One night, as Alex tucked Ethan into bed, the boy looked up at him with clear, thoughtful eyes. Dad, will you always be here? Alex smiled, brushing the hair from Ethan's forehead. Always, buddy, no matter what. Ethan nodded and pulled his blanket tight. I love you. I love you too, Ethan, forever. Alex sat for a long moment, watching his son drift to sleep. He realized then that forgiveness wasn't just for Jordan, it was for himself, for the anger, the fear, the mistakes he'd made along the way. He was not just surviving anymore. He was living, healing, and finally, at peace. And whatever the future brought, he knew his place in Ethan's life was unbreakable. Family, after all, was not defined by secrets or scars, but by the love that endured when everything else fell apart. The past could not be changed.
Light of Alex's apartment. Well, she said, grinning, that's a new chapter in our friendship.
He smiled back, still unsure. We'll blame the tequila. They agreed it was a mistake, an anomaly. Life, as it often does, kept moving. But 3 weeks later, Jordan called again. This time her voice was smaller, afraid.
Alex, I'm pregnant.
The world stopped. Alex's thoughts spun with impossible speed. How? Why? Whose? She told him she hadn't been with anyone else for months. That she wanted to keep the baby. That she couldn't do it alone. He didn't hesitate, not really. He told her he'd be there, no matter what. Because that's what best friends did. Because he couldn't bear the thought of her raising a child by herself, or worse, disappearing from his life. He promised her and himself that they would make it work. That's how the lie began. They told everyone the truth. Or at least, their version of it. That they'd made a mistake, that it was complicated. That sometimes life throws you curveballs, and you just have to swing. When the baby came, they named him Ethan. Alex was there for every moment. Doctor's appointments, late-night runs to the pharmacy, assembling cribs with the wrong-sized screws. He held Ethan in the hospital, tears in his eyes, promising to protect him no matter what. Friends and family were skeptical at first, but the story fit. Two best friends turning a mistake into a family. It almost sounded romantic if you didn't know the truth. Years passed. Ethan grew. Alex and Jordan moved into a two-bedroom apartment in the city, a place big enough for three but small enough to feel like home. They fell into a rhythm. Alex worked as a graphic designer from home. Jordan took shifts as a nurse. They split bills, school drop-offs, dentist appointments. They fought about dishes, bedtime routines, and whose turn it was to handle Ethan's tantrums. But underneath, there was always something unspoken, a line that could never be crossed. Sometimes Alex wondered what would have happened if they'd tried to be a real couple.
But every time you started to think that way, Jordan would pull back, subtle, but clear. She was grateful, but distant. Loving, but never in love. Still, they made it work. For Ethan. Alex became the kind of dad he'd always wanted to. But tomorrow was theirs to build. Be present, goofy, patient. He taught Ethan how to ride a bike, how to climb trees, how to believe in himself. The boy had his eyes, or so everyone said. He clung to that, because it made him feel like he belonged. But there were moments, late at night, when Alex would stare at his son's sleeping face and wonder. Ethan's hair was a little too dark, his smile crooked in a way that didn't match Alex or Jordan. Sometimes, a nagging voice in the back of his mind whispered questions he was too afraid to ask. Life went on, as life does. Years blurred by. Ethan started kindergarten. Alex and Jordan threw him birthday parties in the park, surrounded by friends and neighbors who called them the perfect team. People often assumed they were married. They would laugh and say, just best friends, really. One rainy Thursday, after Ethan's sixth birthday, Alex found himself alone in the kitchen, scrubbing dishes. He heard Jordan's voice from the living room, soft and trembling. Alex, can we talk? He dried his hands, bracing himself. What's up? She stood in the doorway, arms wrapped around herself. Her eyes were red. There's something I need to tell you. He waited, heart pounding. She sat at the table, staring at her hands. I lied to you. About Ethan. He froze. I wasn't sure, not at first, but I knew I couldn't do it alone. I was so scared, Alex. I needed you, and you were always there. You've always been there. He struggled to find words. What are you saying? She looked up, tears streaming down her face. Ethan isn't yours, biologically. I'm so sorry. Silence. The world seemed to tilt again. Just like that night years ago, but this time there was no comfort, only a cold, crushing emptiness. Alex tried to breathe, tried to process. You knew this whole time? She shook her head. Not at first, but after a while. I suspected. I was so afraid of losing you, of doing this alone. You're his dad, Alex. You always will be. Please don't walk away. He stared at her. Rage boiling beneath the shock. Every memory, every sacrifice, every piece of himself he'd poured into this little family suddenly felt like a cruel joke. He didn't answer. Couldn't. He just walked out, the front door slamming behind him. That night, Alex sat in his car outside their apartment.
Rain beating against the windshield. He thought about all the years he'd spent loving a child that wasn't his, all the lies, all the things he'd given up. Part of him wanted to drive away and never come back. Another part, the part that still loved Ethan, wanted answers, wanted justice, wanted revenge. He wiped his eyes, started the car, and drove off into the storm, his mind spinning with what to do next. Because sometimes, the worst betrayals aren't the ones you see coming. They're the ones that come from the people you trusted most. And for Alex Walker, trust was gone. All that remained was the question. What now? Chapter 2. The cost of the lie. Rain hammered the streets as Alex drove, his knuckles white against the steering wheel. He didn't know where he was going, just away. Every memory replayed like a cruel joke. Ethan's first steps, the giggles at bedtime, the nights when Alex rocked him through fevers and nightmares. All of it had felt so real. Now it felt stolen. He pulled into an empty parking lot near the river. The water ran dark and wild under the city lights. Alex sat in the silence, letting grief and anger wrestle inside him. He tried to piece together the timeline, hunting for missed signs. How long had Jordan known? How many times had she looked at him, thanked him, loved him? Not as a partner, but as a lifeline. He pressed his head to the steering wheel. Tears came hard, hot, and fast. He let them. When they stopped, he sat up, wiped his face, and took a deep breath. He needed answers. And he needed to figure out who he was. If not Ethan's real father, then what? A fraud? A fool? Or still, somehow, a dad? The next day dawned gray and cold. Alex hadn't slept.
He watched the world outside his windshield, commuters hustling to work, parents dropping off kids, joggers splashing through puddles, while his own life sat on pause. His phone buzzed with a message from Jordan. "Jordan, please come home. Ethan keeps asking for you. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say." He stared at the words, fingers twitching over the screen. He wanted to rage at her. He wanted to make her feel what he felt, lost, betrayed, alone. Instead, he typed nothing. He tossed the phone aside. He started the car and drove, not to the apartment, but to his friend Mark's place.
Mark was his oldest buddy, a man who'd known him long before life got so complicated. Mark opened the door, eyebrows raised at Alex's wild-eyed stare and wrinkled clothes. "Whoa, dude, you look like hell." Alex walked in and sat hard on the couch. For a long moment, he said nothing. Then finally, he told Mark everything. The one-night stand, the co-parenting, the years of pretending, the secret Jordan had finally confessed. Mark whistled, low and sharp. "That's brutal. What are you going to do?" Alex shook his head. "I don't know. Part of me wants to walk away, but Ethan, he's my whole world, even if he's not my blood." Mark nodded. "DNA doesn't make you a dad. You do. But man, you have rights. You raised that boy." Alex looked up, hope flickering. "Do I? If I'm not his real father, legally." "Maybe you should talk to a lawyer." The thought cut through the fog. Alex nodded slowly. If Jordan wanted to keep secrets, he'd fight with the truth. He spent the next hours online, searching for answers. Parental rights after paternity fraud. Can you keep custody if you're not the biological father? The answers were a tangled web of laws and pain. In some places, if a man signed a birth certificate, he could still be considered a legal parent, even if the child wasn't his biologically. But it depended on the state, the judge, the circumstances. Alex read stories of men who'd lost everything. Children they'd raised, families they'd built, years of love, because the law said biology mattered more than heart. He felt sick, dizzy with fear. Still, he jotted down the names of three local lawyers and sent them quick, desperate emails. Then he sat in the quiet, staring at the old family photos on his phone. Ethan at the zoo, Ethan on Alex's shoulders, Ethan grinning in a Superman cape. How could he just disappear from that boy's life? How could he let Jordan erase him? His anger burned hotter. If the law wouldn't help, maybe there were other ways. He'd given Jordan everything. Time, love, money, his very soul. She owed him. At the very least, she owed him the truth. Alex finally went home that afternoon. The apartment felt wrong. Too clean, too quiet. He found Jordan sitting at the kitchen table, her face pale and drawn. Ethan was at school, thank God. Alex didn't want him to.
"See this?" Jordan stood when Alex walked in. She opened her mouth, then closed it. "I'm so sorry, Alex. I never wanted to hurt you. I couldn't do it alone. You were always there for me. I thought if we did this together, maybe..." "Maybe what?" Alex snapped. "Maybe I'd never find out. Maybe I'd just be your safety net forever." She flinched. Tears welled up. "I'm sorry." He shook his head, forcing himself not to yell. "Who's his real father?" Jordan wiped her face. "It was a guy I dated before you and I. Before that night. We weren't serious. He moved away. I didn't even tell him. I couldn't handle it. You were the only person I trusted." Alex sat down hard. "So you let me believe he was mine for 6 years. She nodded, silent. "I want a paternity test. I want everything out in the open. No more secrets. Not from me, not from Ethan. He deserves to know who he is." Jordan hesitated, then nodded. For the first time in days, Alex felt a tiny sliver of control. The next week moved slowly, every day loaded with dread. The paternity test was quick, just a cheek swab at a cold, bright clinic. Ethan thought it was funny, like a game. He had no idea what it meant. While they waited for results, Alex slept in Mark's spare room. He visited Ethan after school, keeping his smiles bright and his voice steady. He didn't want his pain to infect the boy's world. Not yet. Jordan tried to reach out. Sometimes she called, sometimes she texted. He ignored most of her messages, except the ones about Ethan's schedule. The waiting was agony. Alex felt like he was floating above his own life, disconnected, a ghost haunting the edges of his own home. On the third night, he got a call from one of the lawyers. Her voice was calm, almost clinical. "Mr. Walker, you have rights as Ethan's legal father, especially if your name is on the birth certificate and you've been his primary caregiver. The court looks at the child's best interest, but be aware, biological connection does matter in some states. Are you prepared for a fight?" Alex's answer was quiet but certain. "I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not giving him up." When the paternity results arrived, the truth landed like a hammer. Ethan was not Alex's biological son. He read the words over and over, numb, as if the letters themselves might change if he stared hard enough. Jordan cried when she saw the envelope. Alex felt nothing at all. He called the lawyer again, voice shaking. "What now?" "We prepare," she said. "If you want to stay in Ethan's life, you'll need to make your case. Document everything, every school event, doctor visit, night spent comforting him. The court will want to know who raised him, who loves him, who puts him first." Alex spent the next hours gathering proof. Photos, emails, school forms, drawings labeled "Daddy" in a child's shaky hand. Each one hurt to look at, but he knew they were his armor. He also began to change. The pain didn't fade, but it hardened, sharpening his focus. He had lost everything before. His own father had left when he was 6, vanishing without a word. He had promised himself he would never do that to a child. He wasn't about to start now, but the world wasn't finished hurting him. That Friday, as Alex walked Ethan home from school, the boy looked up and asked, "Dad, are you mad at Mummy?" Alex's throat tightened. He knelt, meeting Ethan's eyes. "No, buddy. Sometimes grown-ups have hard talks. But I love you. Always." Ethan nodded, trusting. Alex felt the weight of it, how easily a child gives love, how deeply betrayal can cut. That night, after Ethan went to bed, Alex sat alone and thought about revenge, not the kind that ruined lives, but the kind that restored balance. If the law said he could fight, then he would. If the world wanted proof, he'd show them what a real father was. He would not disappear. He would not let a lie erase 6 years of love. Alex poured himself a drink and stared out at the city lights. He didn't know what the next chapter would bring, but for the first time, the rage felt useful, a tool, not a curse. He was ready to fight. For Ethan. For the truth. For himself. Chapter 3. A Father's Battle Begins. The days that followed settled into a numb routine. Alex woke each morning at Mark's apartment, staring at the ceiling and waiting for the sun to rise. He'd never been a religious man, but now he found himself praying to anyone who'd listen, for strength, for patience, for a sign that he was doing the right thing. He saw Ethan as much as he could. Jordan, cautious and brittle, allowed Alex to pick him up from school twice a week. They went to the park, kicked a soccer ball, built towers from sticks and rocks. Ethan laughed easily, unaware of the storm swirling around him. Each moment felt precious and fragile. Alex tried to burn every detail into his memory, the way Ethan's nose crinkled when he smiled, the small hand reaching for his in a crowd. But beneath the surface, Alex's life was in free fall. Mark watched his friend closely, not sure what to say. Mark was practical, a man who believed in fixing what was broken, in facing hard truths head on. "You're going to court, right?" Mark asked one evening, as they ate takeout in front of the muted TV. Alex nodded. "The lawyer thinks I have a shot. I've been there since day one." But Jordan could make it hard. The biological father, if he shows up. "Will he?" Mark leaned in, voice low. "You think she'll try to find him?" Alex shook his head. "I don't think she wants him involved. She barely mentioned him. But the law is the law. If the judge says biology matters most, I could lose everything." Mark put a hand on Alex's shoulder. "You fight. You do it for Ethan. And for yourself." Alex let out a shaky breath, I just keep replaying everything, every bedtime story, every scraped knee. Was I just, a fill-in? Mark's eyes were kind.
You were a dad, Alex. That's what matters. Don't let her guilt make you forget that.
The first meeting with the lawyer in person was both reassuring and terrifying. Her name was Ms. Temple. Her office was lined with family portraits and degrees. She listened without judgment as Alex recounted the story, then took out a thick legal pad.
You've done everything a father does, she said. That counts for a lot.
The court cares about the child's best interests. Judges don't like to break up stable families. But Jordan's confession complicates things. She could try to limit your contact, or worse.
Alex swallowed hard.
What do I do?
You start by gathering evidence, document your role, save texts, emails, pictures, anything that shows you've been an active, present father. Keep a log of every visit, every pickup, every call. We'll file for custody and request a temporary order to keep you in Ethan's life until the hearing.
Alex nodded, feeling a sliver of hope.
One more thing, Miss Temple said. Don't lose your temper. The court will watch everything you do. Be steady. Be the best version of yourself, even when it hurts.
Alex followed her advice to the letter. He bought a small notebook and started recording everything. When he saw Ethan, what they did, how Ethan reacted. He saved every birthday card, every drawing. He gathered old photos. The first time Ethan rode a bike, their trip to the aquarium, Christmas mornings spent in matching pajamas. Jordan was civil, but distant. Sometimes she seemed ready to cry. Other times she was cold, almost businesslike. Alex tried to be patient, but inside he was a storm. He wanted to scream at her, to make her feel his pain, but he remembered Ms. Temple's warning, so he smiled for Ethan's sake, kept his voice soft, and waited. Ethan sensed the tension, even if he didn't understand it. One afternoon as they walked home from the park, Ethan tugged on Alex's sleeve. Dad, are we still a family?
Alex crouched down, heart aching.
We'll always be a family, bud, no matter what. Ethan nodded, trusting. Alex blinked back tears. The legal process moved slowly. Ms. Temple filed the paperwork, a petition for shared custody, citing Alex's role as Ethan's father since birth. Jordan hired her own lawyer, a sharp, careful woman named Ms. Harding. They exchanged polite emails, but it was clear things would get messy. Weeks passed. The first court date loomed on the calendar like a dark cloud. Alex barely slept. He replayed every mistake he'd ever made, every harsh word, every moment he'd raised his voice or been late for pickup. Would the judge see him as a good father? Or just a man with no claim to a child who shared none of his blood? On the night before the hearing, Alex sat in the apartment's tiny guest room. Mark brought him tea and a tired smile. Whatever happens, you fought. That counts.
Alex nodded.
I'm scared, Mark. If I lose, I don't know who I'll be without him.
Mark clapped him on the back.
Then you don't lose. Not now. Not ever. The courthouse was smaller than Alex expected. Just a low gray building with tired security guards and worn tile floors. Inside, everything smelled of coffee and nerves. Ms. Temple met him at the entrance, her briefcase in hand.
You ready? She asked.
Alex nodded, his throat